Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join me this morning. This morning, I'm very pleased to share with you that I have a very special guest joining me here in the studio. He is a friend, ministry partner, and he also happens to be the life group pastor at Valley Baptist Church right here in Bakersfield. My special guest this morning is Pastor Brian Busby. Good morning and welcome.
Hey, good morning, Philip. Glad to be here again, working together again.
And we have worked together in the past, and we will certainly be working together in the near future. It was really just last March at Valley Baptist Church on the Olive Drive campus that we held a workshop. It was about 3 hours in length, titled Homosexuality and the Reality of Change. And the attendance and the response was considerable. And based upon that, and because we at His Way Out Ministries, we want to continue educating and equipping the church, we have another workshop coming up on Saturday, September 15th, once again at Valley Baptist Church, again at the Olive Drive campus that I'm looking forward to. And we're going to be covering a considerable amount of territory. We're going to be turning our attention to understanding homosexuality, the myths of homosexuality, reaching gay youth, counterfeit sexuality, and homosexuality and the church. And I'd like to stop right there and pause a moment and really talk briefly about homosexuality and the church. I continue to believe that the church is God's vehicle to reach wounded, broken, hurting humanity. And that most definitely includes the sexually and relationally broken, which is again why I'm so pleased for Valley Baptist Church hosting these workshops, because in my travels, both here in the States and abroad, I find hands down that Christian men and women, they're wanting tools. They want to be educated and equipped on this to offer a Christ-like response. So thank you on behalf of His Way Out Ministries of Valley Baptist Church for again hosting this. So we're looking forward to it again. That's going to be on Saturday, September 15th, beginning at 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock. Pastor Brian, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we're excited about having another one of these workshops as well. The one that we had previously was very well received, and people found it very helpful in the situations that they were facing in life. And increasingly, what I've come to realize is, although we know that there are multiple people in our congregations who are struggling with same-sex attraction, we've also come to realize that only a fraction of those people will ever have the courage to come and to talk to us pastors about it. And so increasingly at our church, we've realized that one of the most helpful things that we can do as pastors is to provide opportunities to equip the family and friends that are close to those people, the family and friends who love those people, equip them to have the biblical tools and information they need to then be able to minister to their friends and loved ones who are experiencing same-sex attraction. And so we've realized there will only be a few people in our congregation who will come and talk to us pastors. And yet almost every family in our congregation has a loved one or a friend who experiences same-sex attraction. And so this workshop is another way for us to be able to help equip them to do the ministry of love to these people who are experiencing same-sex attraction.
You're sharing a very, very important point in that many men and women that struggle with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction, and I'm going to share based upon the past 25 years of His Way Out Ministries, more than not, the individual's pastor is often the last to know about their struggle. And that largely points to the shame factor that is attached to this particular form of brokenness. And that is, I think, in many ways is a bit tragic in that their pastor, the shepherd, is there for them. But because of that shame factor, they don't want anyone to know, especially the pastor, that they have a struggle and an intense struggle. And you're finding the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's reasons for that. Basically, it's a sort of perceived notion that if I tell my pastor will hate me, or my pastor will think I'm a sinner, or my pastor will look down on me from here on out. And most of that is a misconception.
Yes.
Now, there has... throughout history and even throughout the country today, there have been pastors who have acted with hatred towards those who have same-sex attraction. But for genuine pastors who understand the Bible and understand the love of Christ, pastors want to help people, and they want to help people know how to follow Jesus.
Yes.
But still, people have this barrier in their mind. They have this misconception that if I come to the pastor, something bad's going to happen. And it's sad because so many of us pastors, we generally want to help people no matter what it is they're struggling with, no matter what temptations they're going through. We want to help them know the love of Jesus, but we don't always get that opportunity. Now, I do think that there are things we can do as a church to help people struggling with same-sex attraction to realize that this is a place where they can find hope.
Yes.
You know, when I think about it, one of the things is, sometimes we think churches are supposed to be trophy cases for perfect Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But really, a church is a hospital for the spiritually sick.
Yes.
And the more we can communicate that from the pulpit, the more that we can be transparent with our own struggles and our own temptations, the more we can help people to realize that the pastors are not perfect people on pedestals who look down with everyone. Look down on everyone, but that pastors are fellow strugglers who have our own set of temptations that we struggle with, and that we want to help other people as well.
Yes. I think also bring to the conversation that a myth, unfortunately, that a lot of men and women that struggle with same-sex attraction have bought into, their view is no one could possibly understand their struggle unless that individual has themselves had this particular area of struggle. And that is not true, because I relate to this very personally, as you know. The two individuals that were highly, if not the most instrumental in my own life 33 years ago, these two men had never, ever in their lives had an issue of same-sex attraction. But they were larger-than-life role models. They set a very, very powerful example, which helped me tremendously. So the view or the myth that people buy into that you got to have a PhD in overcoming same-sex attraction is just that. It is a myth.
Sure.
And rightly said, as you said just a moment ago, the church needs to be there for these men and women that want help. Today, especially in American culture and society, if the church is not there for these wounded, broken, hurting individuals to work through their brokenness of same-sex attraction, where else are they going to go? And that's where we are today. So again, the workshop, again, on Saturday, September 15th, and we'll be giving further details in just a moment before we end the program. It's largely geared to anyone that is possibly struggling with this area of brokenness, parents with possible gay-identified children, people who just want to come and learn about this to be better equipped to help someone, possibly a coworker, a neighbor, a fellow brother and sister in Christ. So everyone is welcome to the workshop on Saturday, September 15th.
Yeah, and Philip, can I add to that? A couple things specifically I'm excited about this workshop, and here's how I'm explaining it to people. Because they say, well, Brian, what's this workshop about? And I say, this workshop is to help people who want to, with compassion and clarity, explain what the Bible says about these issues. And so two things I'm specifically excited about is, one, there is a growing movement of people who are trying to reinterpret the Bible to say that God condones a lifestyle of homosexuality. And so in this workshop, we're going to be able to address some of the pertinent passages.
Yes.
And show how to interpret them correctly. Sometimes we may not feel like we're Bible scholars, and someone who's been studying on the internet a whole bunch from activist websites will come to us and say, well, this is what the Bible really says about homosexuality. God really condones a homosexual lifestyle. And if we're not you know, knowledgeable about those passages, how do we respond? How do we show them that that interpretation is not the correct interpretation? And so one thing I'm excited about in this workshop is that we're going to be addressing the sort of flashpoint biblical passages to study what they really mean. The other thing I'm excited about is that we're going to have a section on reaching gay youth. Almost every day in our church, parents come to us brokenhearted saying, you know, my child has told me, my teenager has told me that they're experiencing same-sex attraction, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to respond. I don't know what to say to them. And so we're going to help with that in this workshop. Even, it's interesting that even more and more with people who we're ministering to, even youth that we're ministering to, even Christian youth who are not themselves experiencing same-sex attraction, but when they are at school, they are on trial for their Christian beliefs. We have been ministering to middle schoolers who are on the verge of suicide because they are being so constantly bullied by people at school for their Christian beliefs. And so this could even be a workshop that equips youth who are in our church to be able to respond with compassion and clarity about biblical truths to people who are pressing them for answers around them.
But you are so right. We are now living in a time where the Word of God is under relentless bombardment and attack. And heaven knows there are pro-gay theologians, pro-gay apologists, revisionists that have taken the Scriptures in both the Old and the New Testament, twisted them, bent them, reworded them to try and validate homosexual practice. But the Word of God is crystal clear, and there isn't even one Scripture contained within the entire Word of God that approves of or validates homosexual practice. Every time it is mentioned, referenced, it is always clothed in the text of a behavior not unlike others that God says you are not to practice. There simply is no way to validate homosexual practice from Scripture. It simply cannot be done. Now, you would think, end of story, right?
Yeah.
But no. Again, pro-gay theologians, pro-gay apologists, revisionists, and the attack again on the Word of God is absolutely relentless.
Sure.
We, the church, we must protect God's character and the authority of His Word. And that's what I really see is the greater crisis we are facing today here in America. Yes, we are concerned about the march of pro-gay activists and all that they are trying to achieve, but we must protect the integrity of God's Word. And I would submit, if we don't, we're going to continue to see three consequences continue to unfold. One, we're going to see further denigration a biblical authority. Two, we're going to continue to see the loss of a coherent definition of family. And I guarantee you, we will continue to see in greater, greater measure the exploitation of children. We've already seen these elements take place, but they are continuing and gaining momentum. And that greatly, greatly concerns me.
Yeah, I think so. You know, the church is somewhat responsible for what's been happening. So often, when pushed on by cultural pressure, Christian churches and Christian theologians have given up ground and they've surrendered biblical truths and they've surrendered parts of the Bible. And so sometimes we let shifting cultural sands determine what we're going to believe about the solid rock of the Bible. And so when shifting cultural opinion, you know, pushes on the Bible about creation, then some churches, some denominations, some seminaries, some pastors, some theologians say, okay, well, let's surrender that part of the Bible, but we'll still keep some of the Bible. But then culture comes again, and they push on other things like gender roles.
Yes.
And some pastors, theologians, churches, denominations, seminaries say, okay, well, let's surrender that part of the Bible, but we'll still keep some of it. And then when our culture pushes on stuff like the biblical definition of marriage, even today, there are some churches, pastors, seminaries, theologians, denominations who say, okay, let's surrender that part of the Bible. But at some point, we're going to have no Bible left.
Yes.
And so for at least 100 years now, people have thought that a solution to the cultural pressures against the Bible is to surrender those parts of the Bible. But my belief is that in the crisis we are presently facing, the solution is not less biblical truth. The solution is more biblical truth. And we have to realize that God's word is unchanging. God's word is trustworthy, and we cannot surrender whole sections of it simply due to the shifting sands of what is popular cultural opinion at the time.
My challenge, again, with regard to pro-gay theologians in particular, is that they speculate and they theorize to try and validate homosexual practice. They theorize on what the Bible doesn't say.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion. Why don't we embrace and concentrate on what God has clearly said?
Sure. Sure.
But we have many today that are trying to skirt that. They're trying to find a loophole. It cannot be found within the totality of Scripture.
I would say, too, that I think often what happens is people hear the revisionist argument. And so maybe they read it in a blog, maybe they hear it on a YouTube video, and they say, oh, okay, this person is saying that there's passages in the Bible that say that God condones homosexual lifestyles. But then I think people never take the second step of, first of all, actually going to those passages and reading them for themselves, not letting people tell them what the Bible says, but going and reading the Bible for themselves. And then an even further step is to explore, well, what is the Christian response to that revisionist argument? And so here's my point, is I think a lot of people hear a revisionist argument and just assume that there must not be any response to it. But I would encourage people, don't let other people tell you what the Bible says.
Yes.
Go and read the Bible and explore what is the biblical response to these revisionist arguments.
Your point about the concern regarding gay youth, and we're going to be addressing it again at the workshop, is well taken and critically important today. Not a day goes by that I don't talk with young men, young ladies, either face-to-face, Facebook, messages, emails, etc. And if there is one point that they raise more than any other, it's there are so many mixed messages today being generated about homosexuality. Where do I find truth? And the only truth I know, the only absolute truth I know on this topic, once again, is contained within God's word. So we have to take them to the scripture. But when we do that and they read it for themselves, they still have a decision, don't they? Whether or not it's true and to embrace it.
Sure.
And that is their decision because God won't interfere with our free will choices. But today, I'm very, very concerned about youth. I'm equally concerned about Christian parents with gay-identified children. And they come to His Way Out Ministries on a very regular basis. We have a support group just for parents with gay-identified children. And they want to know, how do I respond? What do I say? What don't I say? What do I do? What don't I do? And there's the challenge because as ambassadors for Christ, we want to represent Him the right way. And that balance of both truth and grace can be just that. It can be a challenging balance. But with Jesus as our perfect role model, when He confronted individuals, which He did pretty regularly.
Sure.
Now, He didn't do it to beat them over the head. He did it because He was concerned to say, there's a better way. You're off course in life here. And that should be our perfect role model, to reach to them in Christ's name, to share and to show that there is a better way. Amen?
Sure. I think so. And one approach that I use, because we want to speak truth, but we want to speak it in love. And we want to make sure that people understand our motives for why we're talking to them about this. Are we talking to them about their same-sex attraction for us to feel better about ourselves? Are we talking to them about their same-sex attraction because we hate them or look down on them? Of course not. And so one thing that I'll often say to start a conversation with someone who's living in a homosexual lifestyle or experiencing same-sex attraction is I'll often say, I'll start by saying, you know, I know that, you know, maybe we've just met or we only know each other a little bit, but I want to let you know that I care about you and that I love you. And because I care about you, I want the best for you. And I truly believe that the best for anyone is to know who Jesus is and to follow Him within their lives.
Yes.
And so the reason that we talk to people about same-sex attraction or homosexual lifestyle is because we care about them. And we believe that Jesus knows what can make human beings the happiest, that He knows what can bring human beings the most joy and peace and satisfaction in life. See, I think a lot of times people think, oh, here comes this Christian and they're wanting to take away my fun, or they're wanting to take away my pleasure or my enjoyment. But what we're really doing is we're trying to help people know how to actually have the greatest amount of satisfaction and joy and peace and hope in life. And that is only found in Jesus.
I think it's very important also for everyone listening today to understand that we are not just singling out homosexuality mm-hmm. as the biggie sin, the unpardonable mm-hmm. sin, because that contradicts Scripture. But we are saying that this is a behavior, again, not like others, where God does not want us to practice, because really I believe he's trying to protect us from unseen danger. And it's very, very clear. I mean, it's well known that homosexual practice, the behavior itself, is very risky behavior. And that is validated by the CDC and the AMA both. So again, I think we're throwing out a lifeline, if you will. It's the individual's choice whether or not to grab hold. Hopefully they will, prayerfully they will, because it's a direction in life that, again, speaking to this personally, you can find yourself, as the Bible says, sin is fun for a season. Mm-hmm. Define season, 5 days, 5 years, 25 years, it differs from person to person. But I found out, like many others, men and women around the world, to call homosexuality gay was the ultimate contradiction. Mm-hmm. But you can become bound. You can become stuck thinking, well, this is how it is. There's no way out. That contradicts Scripture, because there is a way out. God says change is possible. Now, I know a lot of men and women today, they're challenging that. But Scripture is clear. Yes, change is possible. Mm-hmm. And we need to keep presenting and preaching and teaching and coming alongside of individuals with that truth.
Sure. Yeah, I believe Jesus can change. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we have a list of different types of people who were changed in the early church. And on that list includes people who struggled with same-sex attraction. And so it is absolutely possible to be saved and to be changed. Now, becoming a Christian does not mean that immediately the temptation goes away. It does not mean immediately or perhaps even permanently that the attraction goes away. But it does mean that with Jesus' help and with the power of the Holy Spirit and with the support of our Christian brothers and sisters, that we can transform what we do with those temptations, whether we give into those temptations, and it can transform our lifestyle.
Very, very important to the process of healing or transformation mm-hmm. is a caring Christian community mm-hmm. because all these individuals, and again, I relate to this personally, had it not been for a church that loved me unconditionally through a process, I don't know that you and I would be sitting here right now having this conversation.
Yeah.
So the church's role, once again, is absolutely critical. It doesn't mean that the church has to have all the answers, but we get to go with them to the one who does.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. You know, at our previous workshop, we had a man who's a member of our church who is a wonderful Christian. He is an integral part of our church's ministry. But in his past, he struggled with same-sex attraction. And at the last workshop we had this young man get up and share his testimony. It was a very courageous thing for him to do.
Yes.
You know, in a situation like that, he wonders, how are my brothers and sisters in Christ going to receive the fact that I've struggled with same-sex attraction? And it was amazing, the response afterwards. It was amazing how the members of our church who were at that workshop surrounded him with love, thanked him for sharing his testimony. And so it was a wonderful testimony to the love of Christ expressed through his body, the church.
Yes.
And Philip, I know one of the most touching stories you shared with me is about a time in your past where a pastor encouraged you to share your testimony before the church and the response that happened. Philip, would you like to share a little bit about that?
Goes back many, many, many years. Long before I had ever shared my testimony even one time, I was hesitant to share because of the nature of the subject matter. But I had a lot of individuals that were encouraging me, pastors in particular. And when the Holy Spirit finally brought me around to a place that I thought, yes, I need to do this, we selected a Sunday morning at church. It was not pre-announced that I would be sharing. Sunday morning worship service begins, and the pastor introduced me, and I shared testimony. And it was very, very specific. And at the conclusion of my sharing, the pastor came back up and he said, I'd like to invite everyone. Let's pray for Philip. The entire congregation stood up and walked to the front of the sanctuary. I saw this sea of humanity coming towards me, and it was overwhelming.
Sure.
Again, their love, encouragement, support was profound in my own personal journey. And that's what's needed in each life of every man and every woman that has the courage to stand publicly and say, here's what I struggle with, but also let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life.
And think about this. Earlier we talked about that we know there's people in our congregation struggling with same-sex attraction, and yet they're often fearful to talk to a pastor about it.
Yeah.
But imagine after something like that, I really believe that a pastor in a congregation can set the tone of whether or not we're going to genuinely love all people, including people who are struggling with same-sex attraction, and whether or not we genuinely believe that Jesus can help people to change. And so imagine in that church, imagine if there was someone else sitting in the congregation who saw you stand up that morning, share your testimony, and then saw the pastor respond in a loving way.
Yeah.
You know, as you shared that testimony, let's just pretend there was someone sitting in the congregation. They might have thought, oh no, here's a person sharing their past with same-sex attraction. The church is going to reject him. The pastor is going to, you know, condemn him. What's going to happen? And then to see that that pastor in that congregation, instead of rejecting them, instead of condemning them, loved them. That would make that person sitting in the congregation think,
yes,
you know what? Maybe this is a safe place where I can talk to people about the struggles that I'm going through. And so I think as pastors and churches, we have a responsibility to set the tone that our churches are places where it is safe for people to be honest about their struggles, and that our churches are safe places to find hope and change through Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. Yes. Well, we're almost out of time. So before we are out of time, let's highlight the details once again of the upcoming workshop. Again, it'll be held on Saturday, September 15th, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Valley Baptist Church on Olive Drive campus. The workshop title is Demystifying Homosexuality, Defending Biblical Sexual Morality. And the scripture basis for the workshop is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, which says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Within the workshop, we're going to be addressing some very specific areas such as understanding homosexuality, the myths of homosexuality, reaching gay youth, counterfeit sexuality, and homosexuality and the church. There is no fee for the workshop, but registration is required, and that can be accomplished. How, Pastor Brian?
Yeah, there's a couple different ways. One is you can go to the His Way Out Ministries website, register there. Also, you can go to the His Way Out Facebook page, and also you can go to our church website, which is valleybaptist.org,
yes,
and you can register there, and it's absolutely completely free.
And the website address for His Way Out Ministries is hiswayout.com. So once again, there are a variety of ways that you can pre-register, and we encourage you to do so as soon as possible, because we know and remember last March when we offered the workshop, it was pretty much standing room only.
Yeah, it was packed.
So get your registration in soon, because we will be providing teaching materials. You'll be walking away with a point of reference long after the workshop has completed. Pastor Brian, thanks so much for being here. Looking forward to the workshop and continue working with you. His Way Out Ministries is a Christian ministry dedicated to raising awareness, encouraging, equipping, and educating the body of Christ around the world to minister transformingly to men and women with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe that through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the healing power of the Holy Spirit, and a caring Christian community, the sexually broken can arrive at a place in life of wholeness and healing and transformation. And to God be the glory. I hope you'll join me again next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.